Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
And there's no less than 3 American men that are really upset at Libertas, are really upset at me for the work that we're doing. And I pondered a lot on this, and I thought a lot about it, and had a lot of long conversations with myself, with God. And I think when you boil it down, is that they hate me because we helped the girls, the kids that they raped. And I think I'm okay with that. I think I'm okay with sitting in like that feeling and that thought and those consequences, like for my action, like that path had a price and that this is the price. But in the end, they're mad at me. They're obsessed with me. They're obsessed with the nonprofit because in our nonprofit, these girls that were exploited by them found a home, found healing, and found justice. And, you know, I can live with that. I think I'm okay in that space where if that's where they hate me, then so be it. I hate them too.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our next catch-up episode with Game of Crimes here, Murph in the Morning. Still in Southern California at the conference I go to every year. And, you know, this is a catch-up with people that we've had on the show before. So you hear me say this over and over with each guest, but I'm not sure yet which order they're going to be coming up in. So that's why I got to say it again. Plus, I can't think of anything else to say. But I will say this. Thank you for continuing to come back. You folks, you know I love you. I love everything that you support on the show. You heard me say it, or you may have heard me say it in a couple other of these catch-up episodes, but if you haven't gone to YouTube yet, subscribe. Do me a favor, go to YouTube, type in Game of Crimes Podcast in the search bar, hit on that subscribe button, click some of the episodes and listen to them, hit the like button, and even send old Murph some comments. You know what? I even read the bad comments. I know you're not supposed to, but I do it anyway. So thank you, thank you, thank you. The next guest up is somebody that you've already heard twice on the show. I've told you in the past, I'm going to bring you back every 6 months, and that's what I'm doing. And in fact, this isn't so much as a catch-up because I'm doing his six-month mark is going to be July. So we're recording this at the end of May. I think I'm going to hold on to it because we're going to do a second part to this with a special person that was a human trafficking victim in Colombia that this guy rescued. There's actually a movie made about her life. It's not true, but it involved her circumstances. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Tyler Schwab. Brother, thank you so much for coming back a third time.
Oh, I'll come back as many times as you'll have me, Murph. I'm happy to be here. I mean, finally met in person. This is awesome.
It was cool. That's right. That's a major point. Tyler, as much as we communicate all the time on texts and emails back and forth and phone calls, I've been on your podcast, never met in person until yesterday. So this is a very cool trip for me. And as long as you're running Libertas and Game of Crimes is running, I will have you back every 6 months. That's how important this is, ladies and gentlemen. We've got another guest that you're going to hear from if you haven't already, because I'm not sure the order, but Natasha Herzig was the first human trafficking victim that we ever had on Game of Crimes. And she's here at the conference this week. So we're going to do a catch up with her. It's that freaking important, man. We sat in yesterday and we listened to her classroom discussion. I really had never thought about guys being victims of human trafficking, the boys. And the things that she talked about, and then she's going to do a full presentation tomorrow. But as she's talking, and she doesn't want people to take pictures of her slides because they claim that it's her work. I mean, their work, and it's really her work. And I don't blame her for doing that. But there's slides. I talked to her last night. Can I take pictures of certain slides? Because I've got 5 granddaughters. And just because she's talking about the boys yesterday, when she started talking about the social media outlets, I had no clue. There must have been 30 different outlets on that one slide. And I had heard of TikTok and Instagram, WhatsApp, and one other one. I don't remember now. But I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. And by the time she finished talking, man, I was scared. I'm scared for my grandchildren. So, I mean, and what you're doing, you're out there fighting this battle. So Let's just give you a reminder who Tyler is here. If you've been listening to me for a while, you don't need an introduction. But when this boy was 23 years old, he took it upon himself to start a nonprofit through a GoFundMe page, because when you did your church, do you call it Mormon or you call it Latter-day Saints?
Whatever. Probably Mormon's probably easier to say and probably a little more well-known. I think LDS should like spell out the acronym, but just Mormon is great.
Good. Well, I don't want to offend you, but that's what we call you guys, Mormons. But you were doing your missionary time down in the Dominican Republic, saw things that you didn't realize what you were seeing, went back to college, got to attend a human trafficking symposium or a guest speaker, and everything clicked with you. And then, you know how we all say, we see things bad happen, we say, somebody should do something about that. Well, damn if you didn't step up and do something about it. Started your own nonprofit in Medellin, Colombia, not in Wyoming, where you're from. So we're going to have you some psychological help after this interview, I think. And now you've been doing it for 11 years. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Unbelievable. And he's currently in the United States because he's living under death threats in Colombia. That right there tells me you are kicking ass and taking names. I mean, it's a bad situation to be in. I was under death threats down there, but it was a whole different circumstance, and I was allowed to carry guns, and I had government protection. You're down there on your own. I mean, I know you got HSI comes down from the United States to help out. The Colombian National Police are on board with you. But when you're at home or you're trying to go out to a restaurant or you're trying to go buy groceries, you're kind of out there by yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, it's interesting. When it first happened, it's not something that I was – I mean, you kind of expect it to happen at some point. But when it actually happens, I mean, I just wasn't prepared for it. And like you said, like I'm not – I don't have that government protection. Like if I go to a place, I don't have that diplomatic immunity. If someone takes me, like there's nobody coming – and for a while, like, and, you know, I would be lying if I said that it didn't still, you know, affect me. It's obviously affected our work, some of those threats, because I had to be more careful. I'm way more paranoid. Like, it's just at this conference, I bought this really cool raptor-looking knife. And I was like, this is going to be great in the seat of my car, just in case, you know, just in case something happens. But you know, as I was trying to, like, work through my feelings and my thoughts and all this, you know, these, it's happened, you know, there's some gangs that aren't happy with the work that we're doing. And there's no less than three American men that are really upset at Libertas, are really upset at me for the work that we're doing. And I, you know, I pondered a lot on this and I thought a lot about it and had a lot of long conversations with myself, with God. And I think when you boil it down is that they hate me because we helped the girls, the kids that they raped. And I think I'm okay with that. I think I'm okay with sitting in that feeling and that thought and those consequences, like for my action, that path had a price and that this is the price. But in the end, they're mad at me. They're obsessed with me. They're obsessed with the nonprofit because in our nonprofit, these girls that were exploited by them found a home, found healing, and found justice. And, you know, I can live with that. I think I'm okay in that space where if that's where they hate me, then so be it.
Yeah.
I hate them too.
Yeah. Well, we all should, because there's nothing but perverts.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have bad dreams about it, but I'll never forget the story you told us about the 14-month-old baby that's being exploited by her mom. You know, and for our listeners, if you've forgotten which one it is, it's the one where I'm sitting there crying like a freaking baby, because it just, if I sit here and start talking about it, I'll start tearing up again, because it's a child. It's an innocent child that looks at a parent as, you're my protector. You're my everything. What are you doing to me? And why? And when you explain that the mom's doing that and the baby's just crying the whole time on film, whew, man, if that doesn't tear your heartstrings apart, you're a cold-hearted son of a gun. Whew. Well, you got to move on, because I'm going to start. We'll have to ask Austin to put everything on hold here in a minute. Yeah, and I said in our first interview, I will support you as long as I can. I want to bring you back every 6 months. I want to hear success stories. The listeners want to hear success stories. It's a part of keeping hope alive. But you, I just spoke to Ryan Tillman and about people in prison. How do you keep hope alive when you may never get out of prison? You know, not to be cold-hearted, but I think that's a choice they made as a criminal, and I don't have a problem with it. But it does make you pause and think, maybe I'm getting a little, I don't know, a little more sentimental in my older age here. But you just think about these children who were being sold by their families into white slavery or human trafficking, whatever you call it. And then you got these perverts that come along to take advantage of them. Not that the kids have a choice. It takes a special person to do that to start with. And by the way, if you're ever kidnapped down there, I got some friends I will call.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah, hopefully they'll get there in time. But let me tell you, they're studs. It won't be me. It'll be some studs that I will do everything I can to get them down there to help you.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you.
That's just part of it. How can I not? How can I not support somebody that's given their life to protecting children? So, rather than sit here and listen to me talk, what I'd like to do is maybe if you could update us on some of the things that Libertas has been doing. Folks, I'm going to tell you now, too, if you're looking for a good cause to fund, this is absolutely one that you want to donate to. I try to make a donation every time that we have Tyler on the show, so there'll be another $3 or $4 coming your way.
Thank you, Steve.
But you got to donate more than that. But seriously, it's a tax-exempt organization here in the United States, so you can deduct that on your taxes. And just know that you're going to be moving forward to help children who are being exploited. If you're a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister, whatever your family dynamics are, how could you not do something to help children? Okay, so I keep going back to it, but it's that important.
Yeah.
It's that important to bring you on here every 6 months. And thank you for doing it.
No, my pleasure, Murph. Thank you.
At some point, you're going to get sick of me, I'm sure, but I'm still going to aggravate the crap out of you.
Nah, that's never going to happen.
So what's the latest going on with Libertas? Give us an update.
Yeah, you know, the baby. Like, it's just interesting that these people, they just don't like to take responsibility. Like, this baby, her mom is actually suing Libertas right now because we won't let the baby see the mom in prison. Their mom was sentenced to 21 years in prison in Colombia for selling her infant to an American police officer. And now she's trying to sue Libertas for not allowing her to see her baby. And it's like, okay, like, well, I guess that's a fight we're in now. Like, I didn't think that this would happen, but like, we're still like, even this little baby, like, justice can happen, but we're still defending her rights because there's no reason for this woman to see her baby. Zero. Absolutely, yeah. Zero. And the baby's great. Like, she's in preschool. She knows how to speak now. She walks, she talks. She's just a normal kid, you know, and she doesn't need to, you know, have those questions of why is my mom in jail and have mom filling her head with whatever kind of lies that mom will tell her from inside of a jail. So, you know, that's a fight that we're in. Like, we're always in the fight for justice. We have a trial coming up at the end of this year with the MMA fighter. He's pleading not guilty. So we're going to go to battle with him in Phoenix. There's a guy in Miami near your neck of the woods that toward the end of next month, he's pled guilty. So he'll be sentenced to prison time. I'll be going up. The mayor of Columbia will be going up. A bunch of police officers. It's going to be a whole show.
And where's that at?
In Miami.
Okay. And I'm going to do my best to be down there.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And you should sneak off with us after, because once everybody has like their photo op and their show and whatever, we're taking the survivors who are coming. Our littlest one in this case is 12 years old, and we'll be taking her to Disneyland so she can, you know, be a kid. You can take a picture with Mickey Mouse and Lilo and Stitch or whatever. Like, just be a kid. And, you know, in her case specifically, like, this guy will be paying for what he's done. The girl who sold her, which was actually her cousin and actually the one that held her down during the assault, she was just sentenced last night to 21 years in prison in Colombia. She's a Colombian citizen. She sold her to this American guy, Stefan Correa is his name. People can look him up if they have questions.
Say that name again.
Stefan Correa.
Yeah.
Correa.
Correa.
Yeah.
Yeah, look him up just to see what a pervert looks like.
Yeah, he's awful. He's the one that had the iPhone 6s and would give them to the girls that didn't cry during his assaults, liked them 13-9. This girl that was coming up from Colombia to go to Disneyland just had her birthday. We celebrated with her for the first time. You know, incredibly poor, never had extra money to get like a birthday cake. And we got this cake. It's not a big cake. It's, you know, just a cake, but she celebrated with it and is getting justice on her behalf, starting elementary school again. So justice continues to happen, and then the healing continues to happen, which is always, you know, my favorite thing is just seeing kids just like return to that normality, celebrate birthdays, start school for the first time, get good grades in school. I had one girl that sent me a note the other day of like the list of like straight A's that she got in school, sent me like a copy of the note that I can frame in my house because it has like what place they are in their class, and they're like in first and second place, and they're like, you should frame this in my house. And I was like, oh yeah, of course.
Wow.
That'd be awesome. So that's always good. Seeing dreams come true. That's one thing I love to like see is when someone's dream is coming true, whether that be like for one girl, it could be like getting her first laptop so she can study in university as a normal kid, or riding horses for the first time. Just seeing people's dreams come true is always something I'm really a big fan of. And then just the new cases too, like with kind of the switch in things where we've been threatened and we're kind of trying to readjust how we work and where we work. You know, there's new countries opening up to us, including the United States. Like we have some active cases here in the United States of some predators that were working alongside law enforcement, supporting those survivors. New countries, some countries I've never even heard of, where we're working now. And, you know, just trying to do our best. You know, our core mission is just healing and justice. How do we honor the survivors that call our foundation home in facilitating healing and justice? And the, you know, the one thing that I've learned is it just never stops. Like, yeah. It just never stops. Like, we have this case now with this Catholic priest who's not like, he's not a Catholic priest, which I'm not Catholic. So I didn't know there was like this priest registry where you can actually look up like who has been ordained to be a Catholic priest. I had no idea. And this priest, he'll find extremely poor churches in Colombia, and he'll be a priest there. And when kids are baptized, he'll in secret give them a secret baptism. What does a secret baptism entail? It entails them being sexually assaulted. And so this girl who was just baptized or had her confirmation, I'm not sure how it all works, but she was 12 years old, and she told her mom, hey, this priest perform this baptism on me after my baptism or after my confirmation, and this is what happened, and it was a sexual assault. So we helped cover the cost of getting her a rape kit, a rape exam. Sure as crap, the hymen was broken. We did the investigation on our end of finding out if this guy's a real priest. He wasn't registered, so he's just a predatory priest that goes to poor Catholic churches and abuses kids as a fake priest. And so he's screwed. Like he messed with the wrong kid. He messed with the wrong foundation. Cause I don't have pity on him, but he really did pick the wrong kid to mess with. Cause now he's got the full force of your audience, our donors, our supporters. And like, it's only a matter of time before he's paying for what he's done. And this girl is getting healing with us. But I think just like, you know, like Natasha said, it just always surprised me the level of villainy.
Perversion, depravity
that's out there. Cause you know, I've been doing this for 11 years and I'm still surprised. Like this Catholic case, I'm like, he's doing what? He's pretending to be what? It's just criminals will be criminals, I guess.
What was it you told me on the phone and then you told me again yesterday about heaven and hell?
Oh yeah. Sometimes as a believer, sometimes the hope that there's a hell brings me more hope than that there's a heaven. Like if there's a heaven, great. But like if there's a hell where these people get sent to and punished and annihilated or eternal suffering or whatever you believe in, I'm like, that is the part of God's plan that brings me a lot of peace.
Yeah. And I don't know, some people might look at that as a warped way to look at the world and the afterlife, but the misery that they bring on these children to rob them of their innocence, to affect them for the rest of their lives. I mean, you brought a survivor here with you to this conference. She had to go home today. She's living in the United States now. We're not going to disclose where she lives. We're not going to talk too much about her family, but she has agreed to come on, which hopefully will be part two of this interview. She doesn't speak English, and my Spanish is certainly not good enough to – you know, I'm happy if I can say, where's the bathroom in a restaurant?
But you do a good job by doing that, by the way.
So I don't want to talk too much about her now, but having gotten to spend some time with her, we all went to dinner the other night and we spent a good party yesterday with her here at the conference. And you look at this young lady, you would never know that she was a victim of human trafficking. You would never know the suffering that she's endured at the hands of multiple sickos who, in my opinion, are not qualified to walk on the same earth that we live on. And what I saw in her is just, She's accepted her circumstances and she's making the best of the situation. She's married. I got to meet her husband on the phone yesterday. That was kind of cool. Big man. I'm thinking I wouldn't want to run into him in a dark alley either.
No, you don't.
But I got to meet her two children. Well, yeah, her two children were there. Just briefly got to talk to them on the phone or just say hi. And one thing I noticed is she is still so giving of herself. She doesn't really know me other than what you've told her about me. And we got to meet and I probably got a dozen hugs from her. Yeah, that sounds about right. Over a day and a half.
Yeah.
Here we go. So at her age, if she's like that, how is a little child? I got to stop this. I got to quit talking to you, man. It's, I don't tear up like this on very many shows. It just breaks my heart.
Yeah. And her, she's just so like, she'll give me way too much credit for like the stuff that she's been able to accomplish. Cause I mean, I can raise all this money and I can, you know, give her all the money or get all the resources, but unless someone takes advantage of that, like, I mean, there's certain limits of like the stuff that I can actually accomplish. And the reason this person has survived and has thrived the way she's doing is because she's chose to do that. I really think that she rescued herself. Cause she does like, sometimes when I sit and talk with her, like she talked to a major newspaper a few months back and that guy didn't speak English either. And I was just interpreting and there were parts of her story that I didn't even know to where she was trafficked, you know, at 11, first time she was quote, you know, sold as a virgin. They took her to a doctor, a corrupt doctor, tied her back up, sold her again as a virgin.
Oh my gosh.
And that happened like five or six times before just her body couldn't take it anymore, you know? And I was listening to her talk, like the parts of the story, I've known this girl for a long time. There were parts of her story that I, like didn't know. And I was just like, I have this thought of like, oh, did you and I grow up on the same planet? Yeah. Because like our experiences were just so vastly different. And like all she wants to be in this world is, you know, a great mom and a great entrepreneur. Like she's very creative and you know, we're helping her create a new life, you know, kind of like I look at, you know, her in my situation, it's similar to where, because she was threatened as well and to a much more intense sense than I was. And we're both trying to endure and survive together. And in her, like we went through like this thing that we do with like all of our survivors. And she sat down in this office and she we're like, okay, what are your goals here in the States? Right. Like you want to make your home here. Your kids have this flag in their house. It's half Colombian, half American.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. They call themselves the Colombia Americanos now. Like, you know, they're just proud of being from there and also being from here now.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what is your ultimate goal? Like, what is your ultimate goal that when you've hit this goal, you're like, okay, I've made it. And she was like, oh gosh. She was like, I want to be a reoccurring donor to Libertas International, whether it be $5 a month. Life. Yeah. That's her goal in life. She's like, I'll know when I can give you that reoccurring donation that I have made it. And I was just sitting there, I don't know whether to like be proud or like to be disappointed because like that's such a noble goal. But I'll be like, oh, just make your money, travel the States, go see the Redwoods, the Grand Canyon, and New York City, and Orlando, and all these different places. Like, why would that be your goal? And this girl, like, she's always been, and she's not old, but she's always considered herself like the older sister of the foundation because she is at current moment the oldest survivor that is that we work with in the foundation. Mm-hmm. And so she knows the little one that was abused by a police officer. She knows her. She knows the Venezuelan sisters in Medellin. She knows the little boys in Mexico, like all these different people that we support. And she cares about them. And she's like, I want to get to a point where I can give monthly to Libertas so that it goes to support them and a way to give back slowly, slowly, little by little, all that you've given me. And when she says that, like, what am I supposed to say to that? Like,
exactly.
Just like, thank you. Like, I appreciate, like, you have to do that. Like, it's just, it's.
Well, I'm thinking, how blessed are we to know her?
For sure.
After the circumstances that, you know, dictated her life. But here's the cool thing. She didn't let that dictate her future.
Yep.
Man,
a miracle. Like you listen to her talk, you see her. She has no reason to just be who she is, like be so kind and loving. And she loves, like, she loves Murph. I'll give you a shout out because, like she knows her parents grew up in the time of the Escobar time. Mm-hmm. And so when she finally got to meet one of the guys that helped bring down Pablo Escobar, she's thankful. Because like in like the Colombian restaurant last night, she's drinking all the coffee. She's talking in Colombian Spanish. She's getting all these sweets. Despite her not being able to go back to Colombia ever again, she loves Colombia. And so she recognizes how much you did for the country that she loves, but she can no longer go back to. And it's just cool. I'm glad you guys were able to meet.
Oh, a true honor for me. We had lunch yesterday. Is that right? Yeah, because we had the pizza yesterday.
Yeah.
And we're sitting out there next to the marina, just chit-chatting. And she comes out to give me a gift, a T-shirt that she made herself that has the Libertas International logo. And you folks will be seeing it on the show here soon, I promise you. Here, you know, you go to these police conferences, everybody wears black, so... And this way I can support the organization as well.
We totally should. I'll send you a link to that. And you can, because all those, the shirts that she sells, the Libertas shirts, Libertas does not get any money from that. It goes directly to her to help create her clothing business here in the States. And so that's,
Coming from her circumstances to a strange country where they're about to get their work permits, I think you said.
Yes, sir.
So, and hopefully that'll lead to citizenship. You know, Colombians can have dual citizenship. Both of my daughters are still Colombian as well as Americans.
Cool.
And given her circumstances, and she's coming up here to our country, starting her own business, what's wrong with people in our country?
Yeah.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Holy cow, this woman's got the world against her, and she's leading the way.
And it's so interesting because there was a time where we had to go to USCIS. Is that the name of the agency that does
I think so.
Okay, that agency. And I picked her up, and I was taking her, and she had to go, like, fill out some documents, sign some papers. And it was a weird car ride because it was just quiet, and she was just kind of looking at her new city and just quiet and contemplative. It's curiosity. You get concerned. You're like, hey, you doing okay? And she was like, I'm taking in the new place that I live. Like, it's just so beautiful here. I feel like I'm living in Pinterest. But more than that, I just feel safe. I feel protected. I feel like no one's going to hurt me here. I feel like this place has been so welcoming. And like, I really do feel like it's my whole life's been leading here to a place where I can feel safe, feel protected. And, the effort that I put into being an entrepreneur, like, hopefully at some point will be given back to me. She's like, I don't want to be a burden on the system. I don't want to be a burden for the nonprofit. I don't want to be a burden on anybody. I want to make my own money, do my own thing. And I feel like this is a place to do it. And the way she just looked at this, at her new city with just appreciation. And I was just like, it's cool to a place. Obviously we have our problems, like the United States. We're not perfect. And a lot of the guys that we come up against are these nasty pedophiles from here. But just seeing it from someone who's not here, that's been hurt by the system, that who had, you know, members of her family hurt by corrupt members of the government in other countries, where she's hasn't felt safe for potentially a decade or more. And she found a new place with her family in a place where, for the most part, the hard work that they put in will be returned back to her. Mm-hmm. Like, seeing that appreciation for someone that's never had it, I'm just like, it is just a unique place, and I'm so glad that planet Earth has a place like this.
Yeah, I feel honored to even have met her and to experience her positive attitude. just going out and having dinner with her, and she doesn't speak any English, and my Spanish is terrible. Couldn't carry on a conversation. You had Heidi with you, who was using a Google Translate to talk to her, and I thought, man, I never even heard of Google Translate.
Yeah.
and you know, you're offering to translate everything for her, and then when she went to Natasha's presentation yesterday, and Heidi's trying to take pictures of the screen and translate it over so she can follow. We kind of felt guilty. Heidi brought it to our attention. You know, and I felt guilty after she said that because we're continuing to speak in English and Angie's there. And I hope it's okay to mention her name. If it's not, I'll get that out. But she's there just being happy to be part of the conversation when she really doesn't understand what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's just, it's eye opening. And, you know, when I sit around and feel sorry for myself because my hip's hurting or my ankle's hurting and I don't want to get up and go to the gym tomorrow morning. And you look at these people who are looking at life threatening and life changing circumstances, not just themselves, but with their family as well. And the people that are trying to protect them, you. And I'm thinking, how sorry am I?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm tired. Yeah. Man, it just reinvigorates you. To think that these people that have suffered through so much can come out with a positive attitude and a smile. Why can't I?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're always giving me nice compliments, but let me tell you, brother, you're right up on that pedestal. You know, somebody asked me recently who my heroes were, and I really don't have heroes, but I do have people I admire. And I started telling them, number one's my dad, and explained why. And then we kind of went on to another topic, but you're right up here next to my dad.
Thanks,
it's takes a lot of stones to step up and do something, to take a step in faith. I'm not going to disclose the finances that you and I talked about yesterday, but as a CEO of a nonprofit, I know what they make here in the United States. I think the money you're making is put you under the poverty level.
Oh, yeah. That's why the donation I appreciate, too, because then I get paid. I can pay my bills and, you know, and there may be a day where like the clock hits midnight and I'm like, okay, I got to do something else. I got to make some money or I got to do all these different things. You know, I made a commitment to these kids a long time ago and you only get one life, right? You only get one chance to show the people you care. And they've been hurt by men enough to where I don't want to abandon them. If I need to, you know, cut down expenses every once in a while, you know, I will. And to allow them to pursue their healing and pursue their justice because no one's ever stepped up for them. And so it's funny because I find a lot of just inspiration through media. That's why I like Narcos. Sorry, that's how we met. I was like, I need someone that knows how to fight evil in Colombia because I'm over my head. So that's how me and Steve got connected. But one of the things, and you'll appreciate this because, you know, Boyd Holbrook is part of Logan. There's a scene in Logan where there's these horses that are running rampant and these farmers are trying to get their horses Logan trying to avoid the situation. Wolverine, he tells, you know, the people in his car, someone will come along, but we got to get out of here. And Professor Xavier being like the moral man that he is, he was like, someone has come along and it's us. We're the ones that are here. Like, let's go and let's help these people. And actually I believe that so deeply that I have a bracelet in my backpack. It's like, someone has come along and it's us. And through my career, I've been able to do a lot of really cool things. But there's also a scene that I think describes kind of my feelings on it really well from Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. There's a scene in that where like Harry is training a bunch of wizards on how to fight evil. And his best friend, Hermione, gives this really long list of like, you know, he's done all these things. He's fought this people. He had to deal with this threat and whatever. And Harry interrupts her and he's like, look, it all sounds great. Like when you say it like that, but truthfully, like a lot of that was just mostly luck and I had a lot of help. And I believe that so deeply where it's like Harry was speaking my language at that moment, because for the most part, like a lot of my, not I don't want to call it luck, but there's been some luck that's been thrown in. Like there's no reason for someone like me to go speak at the UN, except I just got lucky, I think. But the a lot of help portion of it, like that's something I deeply believe, where it's like these people that give monthly of like $5, $10, $20 a month, you bring me on this podcast and your amazing audience, you know, different companies that have stepped up and supported Libertas in the past. Like, you know, just giving a shout out, like right now there's a company called doTERRA Essential Oils that's doing a fundraiser for us right now where they double whatever is raised, like whatever donation is made, they will match it. So we have a chance to double our donation. And when you read the stuff that the nonprofit's been able to accomplish, it sounds really good, but man, we've had so much help. And someone like Angie, the survivor that came down, like in her story, there's so many people that stepped up and helped her when she arrived here in the States. Like Heidi sent some money so I could go pick them up from San Diego so they weren't homeless for 2 days. Someone donated some stuff to me when they were refugees in Mexico to help make sure their family was taken care of so I could buy her daughter tampons. And when they showed up to where they're at now, like just people stepped up to make sure that their rent was covered for a year while they could figure out all the documentation and the work permits to do everything the right way. So that they were here legitimately and they had the right to work legitimately and they weren't taken advantage of. And so I really believe that just the nonprofit exists for one, because of the survivors that call us home, two, the people that have continued to help us, and then maybe a distant third, maybe I'm on that list, but I definitely have a lot of help and that help I'm really grateful for.
If it weren't for you, this wouldn't have started. You're being humble, which is okay. That's okay.
It's fine.
But you got to give credit where credit's due, and you won't give it to yourself. I'll give it to you.
Thanks, Steve.
I don't know anybody else that took the initiative at 23 years old to start a nonprofit to save other people they don't know in a foreign country. You know, well, that's talk about a hero. That's a hero right there. And continuing to do so. What do you, just out of curiosity, what do your parents think about you? They think you're crazy or what?
Oh, you know, actually, that's a good question. When I first got into this, they were a little nervous, I think, because they didn't, you know, it's an awful topic. It's not super pleasant to talk about. And I think for a while, they didn't quite understand why I wanted to do this. We didn't get in fights, but I think we had discussions of like, okay, finish what you're doing, like do your good and then go to business school or go do this different thing. And go maybe a more safe and secure route. And my mom is very loving and she also has really bad anxiety. And so she sometimes overthinks things.
Yeah.
And, so she's always like, you know, I really love what you're doing. I'm really proud of you. But if you're wanting to explore a different avenue, I wouldn't blame you at all. I wouldn't blame you at all, which I respect. I respect that she wants to keep me safe and all these different things, but you know, I hope they're proud. I hope they're proud. Like everything that I've done, I've tried to do, you know, in their name of the stuff that they've taught me. And, you know, my dad always taught me that service was, you know, a way to give love back to God as you love God by loving his people. My mom always taught me that like you stand up to bullies, especially if you have the power to do so. Like maybe as a young kid, like it's harder, it's easier said than done, but you know, as a grown ass man with donors and resources and ability to intervene to where bullies can't bully the vulnerable. Like I have that power now to stop bullies. I've always hated bullies. I think bullies are awful and they exist. And I think a lot of these traffickers and predators, when you remove the name and the labels and the whatever, like they are bullies. They think they can take advantage of little girls because they're stronger. And so what I do because like my parents have raised me that way. And so I hope that what I do honors them and that I hope that they're proud.
I can't imagine they wouldn't be. Holy cow. You know, your mom's anxiety. She's a mom. She's worried about her baby boy.
Yeah, she is.
It doesn't matter how old you get. You know, you're still her baby. Good stuff. You were making some references there to Harry Potter and Logan, the movie. And if you're wondering where all that's coming from, you have your own podcast now called Locked Off Logic. And you guys, the parts I've seen, you guys are reviewing, you're really critiquing movies, right?
Yeah, you know, it's a movie. I started with my best friend. His name is Sam Sargent. He's a filmmaker that lives in Utah. And we've gone to the movies forever. Like the movies has been a way for just us to kind of escape the world for a bit. And obviously, he's a filmmaker by trade, so he critiques a little bit different. I don't critique it as often versus I just find meaning in it, like find stories and try to make sense of like what I'm going through. And we had enough of these discussions to where I have this survivor in my foundation that was really impacted by the story of The Last of Us. Are you familiar with The Last of Us at all?
Okay. With Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's the part that like messed her up because she was watching it. She was observing it and she'd been with us for maybe 2 years at this point. And there's a scene in The Last of Us where you can cure, they have the ability to cure the zombie apocalypse, right? And so they need to take this girl, the girl that's been accompanying Pedro Pascal, and essentially take her brain out so you can cure all of humanity.
Take her brain out.
Yeah. And it basically presents Pedro Pascal with a moral decision, because at this point he's kind of adopted her like as his daughter. It's like, okay, I love this kid. They're going to kill her and it's going to save the world. How do I react in this situation? And Pedro slaughtered every single one of those guys. Killed them all, saved the kid, took her out of the hospital. And I had a survivor that watched that and like was put in crisis. She watched and she was sobbing. She was like, she called me. She was like, have you seen this movie, like The Last of Us? And I was like, yeah, I've seen it. She's like, why would he do that? Like, why would he do that? Like, why would he risk it all? Why would he sacrifice the world for this one girl? I don't understand. It's not even her kid. This girl, you know, you understand her story is that she was an orphan. Her grandma took her in because her grandma had to. Her parents don't care about her. And she came to us and we were the first ones that really took her in like as our own. But as she was pointed out, we were paid to do so. So was it really love or were we paid to take care of her? She went through the process of healing. She finished high school. She started social work school. She put the trafficker away. The guy's name is Michael Roberts. And she watched this for the first time and she was like, it makes no sense what that guy did. Like, why would he sacrifice the world for this one person? And so like, you know, and the ending is controversial. The last one we talked, like, because he loved her. Like, he's seen the world. Like, he's seen the world that he had to confront to get to where she needed to go. And in the end, like, his world was more important than the world. And so he chose his world. And she was so moved by that because she was like, that's my story. It's like, that's my story. I feel like the nonprofit cared about me enough to where they moved heaven and earth to make sure that I was okay because they cared about me. And she felt so seen and so heard from a zombie show.
Yeah.
And so I see that all the time with the stuff that I view and I watch. And even this, the most recent Marvel movie, there's a movie that came out called The Thunderbolt, where the guy struggles, the main villain, he struggles with depression, anxiety, and he's suicidal. And there's a scene in the end of the movie where he's fighting with his darker self, and his darker self wants the rage, wants the violence. And this poor guy, he's sobbing, he's depressed, and he's had all these memories. And it's his friends that come alongside him and kind of pull him out of the void. And I was sobbing during that show. I was like, I felt that way so many times, where like friends and family have pulled me out of my own depression, my own thoughts, my own feelings. And so, long story short, so the stories that he makes and he critiques, and the stories that I watch and I try to find meaning in, we decide to start a podcast and talk about basically a story and how it affects us, how it inspires us. And then you were on there recently, people that have lived that story and that have lessons to teach about that story and have lived a story of good versus evil, of just, and they have lessons to teach and insights to give. And so that's why we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where can people find your podcast?
YouTube. You can do the same. When you go to Game of Crimes and hit subscribe, comment, you can do the same. Just type in Locked Off Logic on YouTube. That's probably the most helpful, because YouTube, it's I think you get viewed by more people because so many people use YouTube. Yeah. And then Apple, Spotify. We also have a Patreon where people can sponsor the podcast. They can advertise on the podcast. They can purchase like different items we have on the podcast. Like, that's where I sell the digital copy of my book so far. That's where Sam, like, he sells kind of like 101 of like getting through film school and stuff. We're always adding stuff to it. You know, it's a full-time job to manage a Patreon.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, that's where we find it.
I feel guilty because I can't keep up.
I can't either.
I even brought my portable headset with me to do some Patreon monthly episodes. And I mean, we're just so busy right now at the conference. And that's, again, that's Locked Off Logic. And what's the name of your book?
It's called Wyoming Winds to Latin Lights.
All right, say that slowly.
Wyoming Winds, like winds, like the breeze. Wyoming Winds to Latin Lights.
Okay, and is that like an autobiography?
Yeah. It's I'm working on my second one now, at least like the manuscript of it, because so much has happened in the last 4 years since I finished the first one, where I was like, okay, it's probably good enough now. I can start a second one. But yeah, it's just the first couple of chapters, you bounce around my story. The story starts out at a high school basketball game at Natrona County High School, which it's a high school in Casper, Wyoming. And I really consider that kind of the start of my journey of where I ended up, because that's where all my dreams got shattered, is at Natrona County High School. Like, I had the dreams of being a basketball star, playing college basketball, even like at a junior college, and it all came crashing down at Natrona County High School in 2009. And take people, just, you know, stuff that I've learned, stuff that I saw on my LDS mission, on my trip back in college at Utah State, BYU Idaho. And then the last, I think, nine chapters were probably just the most impactful stories in my story. I finished the book in early 2021, so a lot has changed since then. The last 4 years, a lot more stories have come forward. But there's a case in the Dominican Republic that changed my life, of a mom that was selling her two daughters, 5 and 7, on the internet, on Facebook. There's my first sex tourism case in Medellin that brought me to that city. There was a girl that we rescued on the street, and she was like 30 seconds away from giving birth. She was like giving the birth in the car on the way to the hospital. And this girl's again been through a lot. Like, her mom threw her into a fire when she was 4 years old, and so she just had scars and burns. And she named that kid after me. Like, there's a little boy named Tyler running around in Guatemala now, because I happened to be there on site when, you know, it was impactful for me. And a court case in Salt Lake City. There's a time, you know, that my grandma, who passed away, gave me $50, and that $50 helped me to believe in God again after I kind of lost my faith in God. And so, you know, just stories that kind of just, you know, made my story a story worth telling, or at least putting on paper for a second. And the digital copy is on Patreon, patreon.com/lockedofflogicpodcast. And then I hope to have the physical copies ready by my birthday on November 25th, which is also the National Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. Is November 25th. And so I hope if fate comes together, the book, the hardcover book, will come out on that same day.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's pretty cool.
It won't be as good as Manhunters, but.
Well, it's amazing that you wrote it yourself, because, you know, if people think Javier and I wrote that book, I think I told you before, I sat down one day for 6 hours and started writing our book. And I came back 2 days later and I thought, what a bunch of crap. So we hired a ghostwriter who did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, it's an amazing book.
Yeah. Kind of closing out now, where can people find you? On social media.
Yeah, I mainly use LinkedIn now. It's like my only kind of social media that I actively use, just because of, you know, stuff that's gone down. So if you want to find me and connect, like, I'm on LinkedIn. We can exchange emails and phone numbers. People can just Tyler Schwab on LinkedIn. They can find the nonprofit. We're on all social media platforms, X, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, just Libertas International. Our website is libertasinternational.org, where people can find us, make a donation. And then me and Sam's podcast, we're on Patreon. We are on, again, all social media, Locked Off Logic Pod, Locked Off Logic Podcast, where you can see the stuff they put out, the stories we put out. But that's where people can find me.
Excellent. Excellent. So, we're going to call a stop on this. I don't know if you know, but you've heard me talk about on some of the other episodes where I have help now from a young lady that goes by the name of Blue, who has agreed to come on the show once her case is adjudicated.
Oh, good.
But she's currently running TikTok and Instagram for Game of Crimes with Murph in the Morning. And if you look at the numbers, she's blown it up. I think we had 1,700 followers before Blue took over. And now we're 20-something thousand or whatever it is. It's, I don't know how she does it, but I'm impressed. And it's, you know, I don't want this to sound like I'm bragging on myself, but it's an opportunity for me to help someone who had every reason in the world to give up on life, but has chosen to say, you might have got me that time, but you're not got me for the rest of my life. Look what I'm doing now. So, If you're looking for a cause to give to, tell me you can find a better cause. Okay. Now, I know there's probably things that are more important to you out there than this is to you, but you're helping children. You're helping people get out of bondage. You're helping people get away from perverted people who do unspeakable things to little children. I can't imagine there's anything more important than that. So look up LibertasInternational.org. Click on that donate button. You told us the last time, I think a lady gave you $7, but that had an impact.
Yeah, that saved the girl's life that night. That $7, this amazing old lady. We had this fundraiser, and you know, she was just, technology's hard for anybody. Like, even us millennials are starting to lose track with like the amount of technology out there.
Think about us old farts.
Oh, you running Patreon and podcasts and all stuff. You're like, you're
I got Austin,
man,
over here, so I'm trying to make you look good.
No, she's just, technology was not, it was like, she didn't have Venmo. She didn't know how to do a credit card online. So she was like, I'll give you, I have in my pocket $7. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. Like, thank you so much. And, you know, $7, put in your pocket, put in my pants, forget about it. But that night, I'm getting ready to go to a case in Peru. I wore the same pants at the airport. I must have worn this pants like 3 or 4 days, if not, I'm thinking about the story. We were on this operation, in this place called Pucallpa, Peru, way in the Amazon jungle. And it was a group of, traffickers that would traffic these young girls. And there was one that was like 8 months pregnant, and they were starving her to make her look thinner for the people that she was being sold to. And so this poor kid, like she could feel her baby dying. But she couldn't say anything or she would get beat by these people. And so that's just a hell that I can't imagine, just knowing that you're feeling your body give up physically, and you know the little baby inside you is on its last moments, mm-hmm. and you can't say anything or you will get the crap beat out of you, and potentially it will kill your baby. So the operation happened, and in the middle of the Amazon, credit cards for the most part are still a thing of the future. And this girl, when we separated the traffickers from their victims, I sat down with this girl, and I was like, "Do you guys want some water, food?" And she was like, "I'm starving." And she told me, she was like, "I can feel my baby dying. Like, I haven't eaten in 4 days. They want me to look thin. I'm eight months and like 3 weeks pregnant." I was like, "I'm starving." I have $7 in my pocket. So I go outside. There's like this little store next door where they sell like the rotisserie chickens. Bought the chicken, gave it to her. She finished that thing in a matter of like 30 seconds, like cleaned the bones, clear off. And for me, like, it helped me build rapport with this girl for the future and her future cares, being able to give her a gift that expected nothing in return. And like that $7, I don't know if it saved their life, but it definitely didn't hurt. It allowed her to have her immediate need met and to be able to feel those nutrients go into her baby, feel it start to move again, and just have a dinner so that she could get through the next couple of days, at least couple hours, knowing that her baby had had something to eat. So just $7, it made the difference. It may not change the world, but it changed her world.
Yep.
Made a difference for that one.
And it probably saved that baby. So can you give up Starbucks for a day? We all can, right? From the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you, Tyler. Thank you for coming on for the third time. And the second half of the third time will be your fourth time, but we're going to call it the third time, part two.
Can't
wait. I don't know if any of that made sense. It's been a long day of podcasting, and we need to go relax this evening. So God bless you all. Look forward to seeing you at a bar.
KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.